You're listening to DraftKings Network.
On this episode of the Cooligans, in the first segment, we are going to be talking about Leicester City. They won. Big shock. I don't know if you've been living under a rock. If you haven't, you probably saw it. Absolutely amazing. A lot of things happening, including Tottenham really bottled it at the end. I think Arsenal is going to go up and finish, and we're going to have St. Tottenham's Day.
On segment number two, we talk about the Seattle Sounders. We get an update. They beat the Columbus Crew. Jordan Moore scores again. NYCFC with the wonder goal from David Villa. RJ Allen scores a goal. And we have a great, beautiful meme that people are very, very impressed with. Also, the Portland Timbers, Jake/Jack Gleason gets he's a goddamn wall and he cannot be stopped.
Third segment, we talk about how Christian finally talked fast on one of these. We talk about Everton's potential new manager. Who is it? He might be German. We talk about Adam Johnson, what he's up to in prison. Then we talk about what we would have to do to get naked on this podcast.
And also, we got a new intro you're about to listen to right now. Someone new. He's a player on NYCFC. All of that and more on this episode of the Cooligans!
Hi, this is Kyrie Shelton from New York City FC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
Hi, I'm RJ Allen for New York City Football Club, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Jack Harrison from NYCFC, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
This is Ian Joy, and you're listening to the Cooligans.
You're listening to the Cooligans. You know that already because you heard our brand new drop.
Oh, yeah, well, that was exciting. Yeah,
we like to add on some people, and we got Jack Harrison.
Yeah, I think the goal is just to add more attractive man after more attractive man to our drops.
Right. And that has nothing to do with even our podcast.
They just happen to be soccer players.
Yeah, yeah. Some gorgeous people, one of which just scored his first goal.
We will get into that. Oh,
but
my
how
God.
Beautiful
how
was
beautiful.
That? Love just, the video you made, by the way.
Oh, like, my God. Yeah, thanks.
With the K-pop like effects that you added to
RJ Allen of NYCFC scored his first career MLS goal.
How amazing. Two players scored their first MLS career goals in the last since we've spoken.
That's right. That's right. Steven
John Brian James Mendoza.
Ezekiel Mendoza.
Ezekiel Mendoza. Very humble dude. I saw the interview afterwards.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
Nice, quiet, productive tone. And he seems like he's a bit more cocky of a guy. But it was great. It was great to see.
Yeah, on the pitch, he's definitely, obviously, he has a lot of flair, a lot of flash.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And
he brings it, boy.
So you would think that would be, it would be like an Allen Iverson type when
right.
you talk to
practice?
Him.
Practice? Yeah. Of course I scored a goal. I'm John Steven Mendoza.
And no.
Get about my face.
Good dude. But RJ, whoa.
Whoa. I mean.
Great.
2 years ago, he's teaching, you know, substitute teacher teaching kids in Staten Island how to play soccer.
Inner city kids. I mean, I'm sure kids threaten him with weapons all right. the time, and he got out of
Meanwhile,
that.
Meanwhile, he got the biggest weapon on his foot. People don't know that he got that cannon on that left foot.
Inside on the left foot, man.
And did you see how pissed? If you go back and watch the video, David Villa's like, give it to me. RJ's like, homie, I know you won a World Cup. I know you won a Euro.
Yep.
All right? I know you won a lot of other things. You won La Liga. You won the Copa del Rey. You won a lot in your life. But homie, your boy RJ got this. Why don't you move out the way a little bit? Bring the defender with you.
Exactly.
And boy, what a beautiful
But
goal.
You know, that goal happened really because of him.
He started the play. To take something away from Clyde Frazier, he was the catalyst of the play. And he was the precipice of the play.
He really was. And it's so good to have him back. He was injured in preseason. Yeah. And so well deserved.
Yeah.
So happy for him, man.
And man, let me tell you something. Big change when he came off the pitch with that ankle injury. Get better, RJ.
Mm-hmm.
You could see the team collapse underneath that. And, you know, it's not necessarily, Ethan White's fault. But you know that you can tell that there was a rhythm. And RJ really good at tracking back. But anyway, we're going to talk about something that, you know, some people would consider to be bigger news than that. I don't know. Maybe
yes.
Not.
So apparently. And this was like in, I didn't really hear about it because this was in very small print at the bottom of ESPN right. Sports Center.
Yeah. Small. Asterisks. They told you to go online.
They were like,
you wanted to see what the news is about.
I think something happened in England. Yeah. Just, you know, and they put a really long link that you would, it's hard to read. I had to take a picture of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Just
so I
couldn't.
Then I had to look at it again, type it. There was so many little, you know, weird characters that.
Also,
I had to
when they mentioned it, they kept mistaking. They kept making mistakes.
Yeah,
every time they mentioned it.
Exactly. So, Leicester City. After all that, Leicester City.
Yeah.
So I learned that they won the Premier League title.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah.
Apparently a big deal. Look, guys, we've been talking about it a lot. It actually happened.
It actually happened.
And so, like, we live in this world now. We live in this world now.
And this is the only world I know.
Yeah, this is it. This is your first year as an EPL fan. So, for you, this is par for the course.
So now, Leicester City, to me, is the Chelsea. You know, the evil people that just constantly win.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How predictable. Leicester City again?
Let me guess. They're going to park the bus, and Vardy's going to score a goal.
But, wow. I mean, when we started this podcast, which is right around the time the Premier League season started.
Yeah.
You know, Leicester were winning a couple games. I never even heard the words Leicester City.
I was talking about how they were going to drop out of the top four in what?
Top four. They're in the top four now, but they will definitely be relegated very shortly.
Yeah, I thought they were gone. You know, we talked about how Arsenal fans have a song about how we'll go from, you know, from high to, you know, to sea to high, whatever the I can't remember now. Over land and sea, just to go see, you know, Arsenal, and the fans chant even Leicester, meaning, like, that's how terrible of a place
it's
it
just
is.
A joke.
It's the Cleveland of England, you know.
Yeah.
And no offense, Cleveland, but, like, you know, no one really wants to go to Cleveland. You know, it's a little blighted. You guys know that. I was there. But that's kind of how it's so. Like, we even have a joke about how no one wants to go. Well, apparently everybody wants to go there now.
Leicester
for a Vardy party, baby. Did you see the video of the party?
Christian Fuchs on his Twitter put a great video.
Yeah.
Of a selfie the moment they won.
Yeah.
They found out they won the Premier League.
Did you see the Wes Morgan video?
I did see the Wes Morgan video.
What is happening?
The slow-mo video of him getting dragged across his house.
On his back.
In Vardy's apartment.
Across the like marble floor.
Yeah.
He seems to be having a good time.
His fists are in the sky. He's being dragged by his feet.
Across the floor.
Yeah. And in history, when a black man is getting dragged by his feet, it's usually not nothing.
They're not smiles.
They're not. Nobody's happy about that.
No one. I mean, there's going to be talks afterwards.
Exactly. And usually, countries tend to have a civil war when stuff like that happens.
Yeah. Typically, there's a lot of arguments.
Yes.
But I guess, you know, Captain Morgan, first time. Oh, geez. Sorry, hit the mic. First time a CONCACAF captain.
Yeah.
Yeah. First time they won the Premier League. He's a Jamaica.
Yeah. Yeah. Beautiful.
Jamaica me want to win the league.
Yesterday was a so we're recording this on Tuesday. Leicester City won on Monday after Tottenham.
And so hard for me to explain to my American friends how a team can win by not playing.
You know, I'm
like, well, there's points.
Yeah.
And now mathematically, no one can beat them, so they win. Like, well, that's terrible for the fans. Don't the fans want to see them win?
It is a strange.
It does.
It is a strange thing, it's something. When did I? So I noticed it the first time, or sort of experienced it with Serie A when Juventus won, and they won based on
the results of another team,
like Inter or Lazio, whatever that they didn't, based on the results of another team, and they were just sort of celebrating amongst themselves. And there is a thing, you know, it would have been. As the American sort of the way we're used to it, if Leicester would have won against Manchester United on Sunday, then we would have had that celebration right there.
Right, you would have had that moment
at Old Trafford, which
oh my God, that would have been great.
How great would that have been? But there was—I
got to be honest though—watching Tottenham collapse was still better than anything.
The both images of seeing Tottenham fail and Vardy having this amazing turning up at his house.
For Americans, it's like, why is that player really celebrating Tottenham's loss?
Yeah, that's a thing we don't get to experience here. That kind of another team waiting on the loss of another one.
Right.
The
only way
to
explain it's like, if you know, like to get into the playoffs, if another team loses, you get in, and them watching and waiting to see that.
Exactly.
You know, I think probably the best example of the Premier League, I think, was two seasons ago when Manchester City won it in the last second of the last game.
Yeah, that was incredible.
Four seasons ago.
We talked about this before. Yeah. It was in 2011, I believe, or 2012.
Yeah. That's my God.
Yeah, yeah.
Chelsea was last year. Who was before that? City. You know, then that was the first city. Okay, wow, you're right. Jeez, that was four. Anyway, yeah, we did talk about this before. But like, so then you get the elation on the, but everyone saw as soon as that happened, we all knew like that never happens and it's probably not going to happen again for a very long time. This is kind of par for the course. You know, another team goes out and the result of that match equates to you winning or losing. But I got to be honest, as much as I would have rather seen it happen on the pitch, this was kind of a cool experience because I think this is the first one where it was really social, like video. You know what I mean? Like you really got, like we've had tweets in the past.
The Snapchat era. It was very...
We were all at that Vardy party.
Exactly. That's immediately. What it, yeah, it was very much, you felt included.
And it was kind of cool.
Yeah. There's something to just sort of witnessing that. That made me feel like you were witnessing history, but you're also witnessing the absolute joy on each of those players,
right?
Because you know, sort of miracles can happen in any particular game, you know, something. But across a 38 game season,
how incredible
every game was a miracle.
Yeah,
I mean, it was the miracle on ice every single time. They were not supposed to do this.
We've said this in the past, but now there's an ending to it. You know, unless someone dies in an airplane crash, this is the ending of the movie. You know, what I mean? Like this is it. The movie was written, and it really is like it's a script.
Yeah, yeah.
We watched a script play out in real life. And, you know, I know people don't want to hear us talking about this too much, but this is really like we're going to be talking about this in the next, you know, 20, 50, 30 years. You know,
do you think Leicester can do it again? The team, say nobody leaves. If they have this exact
I was just
team.
About to say, you would have to suspend reality and believe they keep all of their players. Most importantly is Conte. Conte is the pivot in that entire system. Mm-hmm. He is the pendulum by which that team swings. And you could say what you want about Mahrez. You could say what you want about Vardy. They don't have the space and they don't have the room to run if it's not for Conte just cleaning up all the messes behind them.
Sure.
That team is not staying together. I cannot imagine. Here's the other thing. They're going to get a ton of money to win, but they're going to spend all that money paying all their players actual wages. They're what, £22 million for the whole team? You know, I mean,
so in comparison to the other team, I mean, £22 million is not nothing.
No, but Manchester United's payroll is five times their payroll.
Well, it's like the HR department is like $22 million. That's yeah, yeah.
The grounds crew makes $22 million a year. They're like, you guys are chumps.
Yeah. They're not even impressed by Leicester's like this salary.
Leicester is the MLS All Stars as compared. Price wise, yeah. to you know, I mean,
the Manchester City like mascots, the yeah, little kids, yeah, they have like Rolexes, yeah, and then they have all this bling that I even
little
impressed
kids
by.
Walk and he's worrying about his BMW i8, you know.
But it's this is what even makes it more this.
I think this is a one time thing. I think this is it. I've been wrong about them so much.
See, you know what? What's interesting? And when we started doing this podcast, and Leicester was having, you know, and this is the first time I'm even watching Leicester play.
Yeah, you didn't know about the past.
So I didn't know anything about the past, but I'm watching, you know, in our first like 2 months, you know, talking about the Premier League.
They don't even have a real derby. Like they're not a joke. They were just a.
Yeah, they're just another team. They're a mid-table team. You don't really pay any attention to.
The MK Dons, you know, of the upper league, you know?
So, but we were constantly talking about the Premier League. And when I was watching maybe the first, like, 10 games, I'm like, you know, I was telling you, I'm like, man, Leicester looks pretty good. I think they're going to be probably in the top four. This is probably where it's going to end up. And you were like, you're great. Like, yeah. I mean, given someone who does not have much experience with the Premier League and know its history, right, the way you looked at me after I said that was I was a delusional human being. Like, there was just...
That's what I felt you were.
You're like, why am I doing this podcast with this guy? Yeah, yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
He's out of his mind. Yeah, there's no chance in hell that that's the case. You know, whatever. I was proven wrong, but I think everyone was proven wrong. I don't think anyone thought this was what was going to happen.
At the beginning of the season, I was very much, you know, sort of, when I was like guessing where sort of teams would end up on the table,
right,
a lot of it was based on like, you know, their FIFA ratings on the video game. And like, this is what I'm basing it on, just because I know who's good based really on the game. Right. I know who's like supposed to be good based on like their global brand that they have. So there wasn't too much
skill based on the how I was guessing who was going to sort of be at the top at the end of the season. But one thing I did notice when I was watching Leicester, I'm just like, these guys are good. I mean, it's just not.
And you know what's funny? If you look back and you watch their old matches, even when they were in 20th place, 19th place, they had more skill than what their thing was. But it's also, you know, this is a tough league.
Yeah, over the course of a season, this is not supposed to happen. You can have a couple stretches, 4 or 5 games where you're like doing well.
Yeah.
But to do it for the entire season, the big clubs with the big money are the ones that really endure.
They're more prepared for that, yeah.
Exactly.
And, I mean, you even look at, you know, European players. Guys like, you know, Mesut Ozil, man, when he came in, it's a tough league to be able to withstand. You play games through the entire winter. You don't get the break like you do in Germany and in other countries. Mm-hmm. You play through the whole winter. Every team is physical. There's no parity like there is in the MLS. But, you know, a team like Stoke... You know, that's a tough team to play. You know, the old joke, but can you do it on a cold, rainy night in Stoke? You know, I mean, it's a tough land base to play in. It's tough across the board. To be able to see a team like this do this, I you know, so many people have said it in many more beautiful ways than I'll ever say it. But I think it's a complete shock. But it also, I think, goes back to someone like N'Golo Kanté, where I think you could see the difference one player can make. I mean, look at Arsenal. Look at how much they changed, you know, when Francis Coquelin came in and just solidified that defense. Central defender, midfielder. If you're going to be playing a 4-2-3-1 or anything similar to that, your defender, your central defender, your midfield, defending midfielders are really important to sort of bridge that gap between the midfield, especially if they're far up. So you look at someone like Everton, I think that's one of the positions I think you guys are probably could use.
Oh,
you
don't desperately.
Desperately need. And you could also see like someone like De La Feu, when he comes in and he's able to stretch the defense a little bit, everyone all of a sudden gets a little bit more room. Everyone's FIFA rating goes up, if you will.
Sure. But, you know? I mean, to Leicester's credit, Leicester did this in the most simple way. I mean, there's nothing fancy about their game.
No. Now this is 2 years in a row where the team that sits back and defends first and attacks, counterattacks, wins the league. Because Chelsea was parking the bus. And I know they're not technically parking the bus, but they're pretty close to it. They're not out there playing tiki-taka.
Yeah.
This is 2 years in a row. Is this the new style of soccer now? Athletico Madrid's looking really good doing the same thing?
What tends to happen, just like, you know, the NFL does this a lot where, you know, well, I think we spoke about this before, but what when a team starts doing well, you know, other teams start to mimic them. And I think that's going to happen a little bit because there's no excuse for these billionaire owners, like for these clubs with billions of dollars that they can infuse and get the best players on earth. Yeah. There's no excuse at this point to not be doing Leicester. Leicester is it's a miracle that they won the Premier League, but it's also a goddamn kick in the face to everyone else. Because it's like, this is, I mean, obviously, if you're an owner and you spent, you know, nearly $1 billion, to get your club to be sort of where it is on the planet, and you just want a return for your investment,
right?
So
because you're not gonna make money.
No.
What you want is you want the success.
The pride. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, to these billionaire owners, this is not where they make their money.
You know what this is like? This is like a billionaire who goes out. This is like a guy who goes out and he buys like a really expensive race car or like a really expensive car convertible. He's doing it for the girls, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
He knows he's not going to be able to sell that car for that same money. As soon as he drove off the lot, he lost 50K, okay?
Exactly.
But he gets it. And what this is like a guy in a Honda Civic driving by, right?
Getting head wiped.
From like 6 different women. Where are they all in that car? You know, and he's all alone with his hair plugs and the drop top Maybach or something. I don't even know if they make a convertible Maybach, but he's got that. And he's like, what's happening here?
It's frustrating.
And he's like, that's sick.
Look, the owners are going to be looking at their managers and being like, yo, what is going on? Because you're embarrassing me.
Son, how much am I spending for you to not get beat by a Civic?
Yeah. So I mean, which is a completely rational question. So because you spend a lot of money, you expect championships in return. That's absolute logic. But I do think it's really incredible. The way Leicester won, the Tottenham against Chelsea, which was a game where which is, you know, it's a derby, right?
Right. It's
yeah,
a
yeah.
Derby.
It's not the same as the North London Derby, but no. it's definitely significant. And Chelsea, I believe it was Eden Hazard who said specifically, and he quoted, "I do not want Tottenham to win."
No, they hate each other.
They hate each other.
That goes back to the 60s, so it's not really modern. Mm-hmm. But if you, I don't know, you don't recall this. You might recall this because it was international. Remember when Roberto Di Matteo was the manager of Chelsea for like half a season, and they were not a great team, but they managed to win the Champions League?
I don't remember.
This is what, 3 years ago now? 3-4 years ago, Roberto Di Matteo came in midway through the season. This is right before Jose Mourinho was hired. In fact, Jose Mourinho was hired to replace Roberto Di Matteo. Roberto Di Matteo did the exact same thing Claudio Ranieri did. He came in and said, "Okay, look, guys, we've tried a lot of different things. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to defend and we're going to counter." They had guys like Drogba, though. They had Ramirez. They had speed.
Lampard was there also.
Lampard was still there, and I think David Luiz was still there, and he's really good going forward, especially at that time in his life. So he said, "Here's what we're going to do. We're going to sit back. We're going to let them make mistakes, and then we're going to spring the attack." And it won, and they won the Champions League, but they weren't in the top four, and this is what happened. Arsenal finished third, Tottenham finished fourth, but because Chelsea had won the Champions League, and I believe seventh place, they took the automatic bid, and yeah, so they took fourth, and Tottenham didn't get into the Champions League, and that was like, oh my God, first of all, amazing if you're an Arsenal fan, where you're just like, I can't believe somehow magically through this wonderful rule, you're not getting in the Champions League, but it renewed the fire that was this really deep-seated hatred from way back in the day between Chelsea and Tottenham. But Tottenham had Tottenham's biggest rival has always been Arsenal and Tottenham, because we're right next to each other. That's the real derby. Chelsea, because their history doesn't really have, you know, the big thing is that they don't have any history. You know what I mean? Whatchamacallit. So, like, you know, everyone's like, Chelsea. But if you go back, this is big for them. So I can't believe Eden Hazard took it upon himself to really just throw jet fuel on this fire and say, we don't want Tottenham to win. Which, as an Arsenal fan, we were like, well, thank you, Eden Hazard. I didn't even see you there those flowers.
And there is that those complex emotions, mm-hmm, to root for Chelsea. You know, especially as an Arsenal fan,
I can't explain to you how difficult it was to root for Chelsea. But I put a couple memes up,
yeah. You know,
but it was hard. And when the Eden Hazard goal went in, I'll be the first to say, and I know a lot of people are going to say that this makes me like a bad Arsenal fan, but I was excited. I was excited because this meant the doom of Tottenham, and an enemy of my enemy is my friend.
Yeah. So the game on Monday afternoon in America, Monday night, obviously in the UK.
Yeah.
Look, it looked like the first half, Tottenham up 2-0, a goal by Harry Kane and a goal by Son. I forgot his last name.
Son Heung-min.
Something like
that. I just go, come on, son.
Damn, son.
Damn, like,
great
son.
Goal, son.
Yeah, you got that goal, son.
Oh my God, I hope they do that to him. So, great game. Great game. Just
incredible match to watch.
Just, I mean, obviously so much at stake, and you know Tottenham, they know they have to win.
And I've never seen anything like that collapse.
And Chelsea, I mean, they did what they do. Diego Costa just got under everybody's skin. It became, I thought it was going to be a goddamn knife fight in the middle of that second half. So, I mean, this is not Tottenham's game. They are not I don't want to call them soft because I don't think that.
No.
But when it comes to, you know, a heavyweight title bout.
Nah, which is Diego Costa. This ain't their game, though.
That,
you can see that they folded like a manila envelope under that pressure. They turned into origami.
Chelsea, they told themselves, we will not let you win. I mean, that's really all that happened.
They won on the pitch and they won in the minds.
Psychologically, they got under their skin.
And let me tell you something, as an Arsenal fan, this is a very far-fetched theory. But we've talked about St. Tottenham's Day is when Arsenal is mathematically equated to not finish where Tottenham can't finish above them. And I know Tottenham looks like they're world beaters, but 3 points ahead with two matches to go.
Yeah.
Now, if you're Tottenham, you're thinking, well, they're playing great. What are you talking about? But Dele Alli suspended for the rest of the season.
But for the punch in the gut
to Jakob, right? That was Dele Alli.
Yeah.
Dembele with the eye gouge.
Yeah, it's not even allowed in UFC. Can't do it there either.
Come on. You know, the place where murder is allowed. Eye gouging is frowned upon.
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
No fish hooking, no eye gouging.
Vorm was probably going to be suspended for some of the punches or just the fight that happened. He's the backup goalkeeper.
Yeah, there was a, if you don't know, if you haven't seen this, there was a scuffle.
Yeah, on the way to the tunnel.
Yeah, halftime.
Yeah, which Willian was still involved in, but it looks like, I can't remember the other play, but Danny Rose shoved Gus Hiddink, Grandpa Gus, down the stairs. That's obviously not allowed.
Exactly. Yeah. After Hiddink fell, he pressed his life alert button and he got help. But
he had fallen and he couldn't get up.
You're not supposed to do that. Yeah. To the opposing team's manager, as much as you may want to.
Yeah. You can't do that. And then there's still the thing of Pochettino coming out onto the pitch. Apparently, you can't get suspended for something you weren't carded for during the game.
Okay.
Or you weren't whistled for. I think.
Sure. He tries to break up a fight between Willian and Danny Rose.
But he stepped onto the pitch while the clock was running. You're not allowed to do that. Exactly. But apparently he's going to be fine. But the way it looks like, they're going to have 4 or 5 players suspended for possibly the rest of the season. So if they have to drop points from both matches, if they win one, it's it. That's over. They're finishing second. But Arsenal has a slight chance, if they win both matches, of finishing above Tottenham. And we will have on this podcast a celebration of St. Tottenham's Day if it happens.
Well, is there a particular cultural thing? Is there some sort of celebration, thing that you do?
Tottenham's crest and we take a shit on it.
That's when we say North London is red.
Okay.
Usually it happens if you win the North London Derby, which we did not.
I didn't know if there was some sort of tribal. Am I supposed to paint my face red and dance over a Tottenham jersey?
Yeah, you're supposed to eye gouge a Spanish, Brazilian. Let me tell you something. If that happens, it would be very improbable. But, oh my God, would I be so happy that it happened?
You know, I think the only problem here is I do think it's very plausible that Tottenham can drop points in their final two matches, given all the suspensions that are looming. But hoping Arsenal will win the final two matches, that's where.
Wilshere's back. You know, Colin Chambers looked good in the few times he came in.
Arsenal. You know, they won their last match. They're not crushing their opponents.
Look,
so.
The next match is Manchester City. Manchester City has their sights on some other stuff. They kind of don't care where they finish right now. They're in the Champions League, and I feel like they're going to finish top four no matter what. But the last match is against Aston Villa, which is essentially a practice. You know, I don't think Aston Villa is even going to show.
Yeah.
Okay. And if they're there, they probably didn't show. I think we're going to be just fine. I think we're going to be fine. I think we can draw and win. And if Tottenham draws both matches, that's enough for us, right? That's 5. They're 3. No, then we would be tied, would we not?
No, we would.
They're 3 points ahead.
They're 3 points ahead now.
We need to win.
No, Arsenal has to win both.
We have to win both. I think there's a shot.
Tottenham needs to drop points
in both or one?
If they win one, it's over.
Yeah, So we have to win both. I think we could do that.
All right, we'll see.
Actually, if we draw and win and they lose both, we win.
That is true.
Dude, there's a way out, even if we just draw to Manchester
possible.
City.
It's possible. We'll
actually
see.
Yeah, that we have to at least draw. I imagine I'm like, actually, we did it already. It was just, I got to be honest. This would be the greatest turn of events. This would be, I think the Kirby Alexis party would be bigger than the Vardy party. I got to be honest.
Yeah.
Yeah, physically, for sure.
Can
we drag me across the floor? No.
No, I mean, it would require too many people.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I put it up there on the tee, and I got to be honest, you hit a home run. You hit a home run.
But you know what? If this does happen, what I would love to do is do the same Christian Fuchs video, watching whatever game result
is happening,
and then have that same exact celebration.
Not a problem. Consider it done. If it happens, consider it done.
Oh my God. All right, so let's get to our second segment. Yeah. We can talk some MLS stuff, and we'll you know, now that the Premier League is over, we have there's a lot of stuff to look forward to, especially in the summer, the Copa America Centenario. So we'll give a few predictions on that.
And for our break, I completely forgot about this last week, so I apologize to Spencer Davis. But Spencer Davis of ESPN 710 Radio over in Seattle has a Seattle Sounders break for
us coming up.
Thanks, yeah, so Spencer. We're gonna play that. It might be a week outdated, but I want to hear what Spencer Davis has to say. Really cool. Thank you for doing it. And listen to this, and then we'll be right back and we'll talk about Copa Centenario.
Seattle Sounders, after an offseason full of speculation and rumor that concluded with the departure of Omofemi Martins and the arrival of Jordan Morris, had a rough start to the season. But all signs are pointing to improvement right now, as the Sounders are undefeated in their last three matches. And Jordan Morris scoring his first goal has clearly been a boost in the dressing room. The defense is rather solid, aside from a few hiccups. Brad Evans and Chad Marshall have formed a great pair in central defense. For the first time in a while, both fullback positions look excellent. The team's current form, plus the addition of an inevitable new signing in the near future, means that Seattle should be just fine heading into the rest of 2016.
Thanks, Spencer, for that. That was great.
Yeah, Spencer, thank you so much. That was sent to us a few, maybe a little while ago. But, Seattle Sounders kind of went on a little bit of a rough stretch there. Looks like they lost three in a row. They recently just beat Columbus Crew, where the first game that they lost to in that stretch was against the Vancouver Whitecaps, 2-1, who... We were just at the NYCFC game.
Yeah, NYCFC just played against the Vancouver Whitecaps. They came to Yankee Stadium, and we got a win at home.
Oh, what? For both of our birthdays. How amazing. It was on your actual birthday, the day before mine.
Mm-hmm.
Nice gift for us both.
Yeah, NYCFC was like, you know what?
Vieira. Vieira's a big fan.
Last year, we didn't really get them anything.
Yeah.
So let's do the right thing.
Let's do this. And here we are. I mean, what could be better than a nice win? And I think since our last podcast, we've had two NYCFC matches.
That's right. There was a midweek game against the Montreal Impact, de Montreal, and the Vancouver Whitecaps. The Wednesday game, which I did not go to, you went to.
Yeah, and let me tell you something. The energy was incredible for a Wednesday game.
Yeah, a lot of people showed up. It was our first midweek game of the season.
Yeah, I think the number was 23-5, if I'm not mistaken.
On a week? That wasn't the case last season.
No. There was a couple rough
yeah, a couple,
there.
You know, there were maybe like definitely less than 20,000.
Yeah, I think one of them was 18, which was still pretty good for a first season. But
a midweek game, that's a lot of people.
And dude, let me tell you something. For a while there, they didn't have that many shots. We held them back. We look like the better of the team. I still wouldn't say. I would say this last match against the Vancouver Whitecaps is probably when we had the most confidence.
Yeah.
There was something about our team. We seemed to be gelling. We seemed to be going in the right direction. We talked about how...
Except 12 seconds into the match when Josh Saunders gives up a goal.
Yeah, he did not look great. And again, I wasn't there in the first half because thank you, Oscar Martinez of Brownback, telling me that you could find parking around Yankee Stadium. And I happened to have my car. So I was like, you know what? There's no way out of it. I got to drive to it.
Yeah.
But I'll be fine. No, I wasn't.
That statement, there's clearly like, there's definitely parking around Yankee Stadium. Clearly sounds like a lie, which I don't know how like you would trust that sentence.
He said he drives, and I think he just gets there like 2.5 hours before the game anyway.
Yeah,
just
2.5 hours early. Yes, you can find parking.
Yeah, so my mistake was I was there during the first half, so it was clearly late. Dude, I had to go over like three bridges just driving around in circles around Yankee Stadium. It was absolutely insane. Anyway, long story short, I missed the first half. So all I know is I get in my car, in my aunt's car, if you will, and I'm driving, and I go, oh, I think the game's about to start, and I look down at my phone, and there's an alert that says Vancouver's already scored. How did that happen? What was the goal? Do you remember?
The goal was, I don't want to remember it, but I do remember it. It was a pass back to the keeper, Josh Saunders, and he did Steve Clark, right, from Columbus.
Yeah, yeah.
He just took an extra touch that he didn't need to. And I forgot who ended up scoring. It was just like a big skirmish. The ball ricocheted, and I forgot who kicked it in. But all he had to do was clear it on that first touch, but he took one touch that he did not need to.
Again, this playing out of the back thing.
It was going to burn us at some point.
It seems sketchy. And, you know, look, I'm willing to give up a goal if we end up winning the match, and that's exactly what happened. Mm-hmm. So by the time I found parking in front of two different fried chicken joints, come on, Bronx. Come on, stop being Scotland, Bronx. What is happening out there? I'm not saying you get a sweet green, but come on, two different next to each other? Were they the same restaurant in Split like the Isle of Lucy episode?
How do they both stay in business?
I know, apparently.
You would think the competition right. would hurt at least one of them.
They're going to start dropping the price. It's now a dollar for per piece. I'm like, come on, man. But anyway, it was like 2-hour parking, 2-hour limit. I was like, you know what? I'm only going to be up there for a half. That's 45 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, maybe 10 minutes afterwards, I'll be fine. So I just hit the max button, whatever. I walked in. But I got to see Steven Mendoza's first goal, which was absolutely amazing.
You did, but you missed David Villa's wonder goal.
The Karate Kid goal.
Oh, my God.
What a volley.
David's son.
Yes. Yeah. Sensei David, as I call them.
Unbelievable. I mean, it was
Yankee Dojo Stadium.
You know, it's just from NYCFC, how many set piece goals have we even had, you know, in their existence? There've been a couple. You know, when Villa was taking the free kicks, he made two last season.
Yeah.
As far as corners, I think we've only maybe produced maybe 2 or 3 goals from corners.
Yeah, and they've been, you know, like, you know, not, they don't look like they were planting on the training ground.
Exactly. But this one, oh my goodness, a total
beautiful
plan to perfection, looked amazing. A perfect, you know, corner kick from Andrea Pirlo, of course. And
why even mention it?
To the far post, like kind of away from the box, away from the 18-yard box.
Yeah.
And Villa just jumped in the air.
Yeah.
There's a great, if you look on the NYCFC's Instagram page, there's a great still of him just doing the karate kick in
He's
the air.
Parallel to the ground.
Look, he looks like Liu Kang attacking Sub-Zero. Just with his,
get over here.
with his kicks. And it took one bounce and it went right in. It was gorgeous.
Absolutely beautiful. I mean, the replays are great. Slow motion is incredible to watch. And, you know, I mean, there's something happening with this team. So we talked about last year, we went through one win and then an 11-game winless streak. And it felt like the record was pretty, you know, the record was exact almost up until this last
Very
win.
Very much so, yeah.
And one thing that I kept saying is like, yeah, I mean, I'm frustrated like everyone else. But didn't it seem like the confidence was building within the team? Last year, it got more and more like disillusionment, you know, like and the team just seemed to splinter further and further. This year, like, especially, and I know you weren't at the Wednesday game, but there was something about that game where we gave it up in the last second, but it still felt like a win for some reason. Like, the fans were upset,
yeah,
but it still felt like our system worked. We made one mistake.
You know, the NYCFC only gave up that one goal in the final. Yeah,
and it's to Oduro, which, by the way, as soon as he came in, I looked at Rob Hobson, and I was like, and this is it. The guy's so fast. Here it is. And he scored.
But, you know, you have to give – I think the difference is in the mentality is Patrick Vieira. I think he's really changing the mentality and the culture and just that belief that they didn't have to go through that same winless streak. And they look, defensively, yes, there's mistakes here and there, but they're giving up less goals. They look slightly better. I mean, that's as much as we can really say. They look slightly better. Yeah, they're not dominating.
Yeah.
There's, you know, David Villa is still frustrated when time after time. But there's... But there's progress. So that's at least a good sign.
There's movement forward, and that's more important than Kirby giving me the finger right now for singing that song. there's movement forward, and, you know, again, like you said, progress. Isn't that all you ask for?
Yeah.
You know, especially, you know, the good thing about the MLS, when you're in our position, bad if you're someone like the Colorado Rapids, is that really, Colorado Rapids being the top of the West, these games don't matter as much. You know, it's frustrating to say that because in every other league, every game matters.
Yeah.
It doesn't really matter right now. I mean, because we have a playoffs, I would say the first 10 weeks are kind of like a preseason, you know? You can't lose every match. You're not going to be able to come back. But we're in the mix. I mean, we were in last place in the East, and we win one game.
And now we're sixth.
And now we're sixth. And we're tied on points all the way up through fourth. So, I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, Orlando City, DC United, and ourselves have 10, along with the New England Revolution. Our goal differentials where we're sort of held back a little bit, but I don't know. I'm kind of excited about the way the season is progressing. I don't think we're the best team in the league, but we're starting to see, like, David Villa didn't look like he had to do it all himself.
Yeah.
It was really incredible.
Yes.
Steven Mendoza, him getting a goal really alleviated a lot because he comes in. Sometimes he really collapses on tracking back for defense, but his pace is electric. Yeah,
NYCFC was the better team against the Whitecaps, without a doubt.
Without a doubt.
The two goals that the Whitecaps did get were one on a penalty.
Right.
That Saunders even stopped, but
the rebound,
they got that. And then it was just that one mistake from Saunders. So that's a good sign.
So it's Saunders is what you're saying.
Well, Saunders, we wouldn't have even won the game. NYCFC would not have even won if Saunders, I don't know if you saw that save. He had that one save. I forgot.
Incredible.
It was just unbelievable. That was, look, he makes mistakes, but then he also gives us some miracle saves. And with the back line that we have, we have a 5-man back line technically with him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like we need him. So
yeah. Oh my God. He's our sweeper at this point. And you know, if he does get benched, I know a lot of articles are coming out. How is it that, I mean, I know he makes mistakes, but our backup's got to be terrible. Eric Johansson's got to be not so good if we're keeping him in while he makes these mistakes. And the thing about him, and this is the thing about Josh Sanders, he makes mistakes, but he seems to make up for them, you know? Incredible saves. He seems like a captain out there.
Yeah, he's like a net zero.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like he's gonna. We're not gonna. We're not guaranteed.
But he buys you dinner. You
know? We're not guaranteed a clean sheet, but he definitely stops really good chances.
Yeah.
That's like most sort of keepers. I mean,
it's NYCFC. Moments of brilliance, moments of insanity.
Exactly.
You know, who knows? I mean, some other teams that are enjoying some success. Toronto seems like they're doing pretty well. They're at 11 points.
Yeah, Portland played against Toronto in a really, really great match.
Valeri's free kick goal was
on his birthday.
On his birthday. seems to be the MLS thing here.
Yeah, so, Valeri got that great goal, but really Portland would have been nowhere without Jack Gleason,
the stonewall that is Jack Gleason.
Yeah,
you know,
not Jackie Gleason.
No, not Jackie Gleason. Although he'd probably stop a few goals just standing there. No, Jack Gleason was, as they say, standing on his head.
Yeah, the NHL playoffs are going on now. He could play in both nets.
Yeah, I think he blocked a couple of slap shots just in this game. He is absolutely, I mean, and you know what's funny? Like, he's the backup.
Quarise
was the starter.
Keeper.
But he's a monster, man. This guy's 6 foot something.
Well, and to give Toronto credit, they peppered him with so many shots and good chances.
Incredible. Headers from within like 5 feet out.
Jozy Altidore had an open header right in this. I mean,
by the way, that's the same. Jack Gleason is spelled exactly the same as the guy who played the king on Game of Thrones.
Yeah, oh, okay.
King Joffrey. So I go to look him up and I'm like, that's not him at all.
Yeah. No, Jack Gleason didn't get poisoned at net. no you can't spoil something from 3 seasons ago.
Oh, Jake Gleason. That's why.
Oh, that's
I've been calling
right.
him Jack.
Jack.
It's Jake.
It's
no
Jake
wonder.
Gleason.
My fault. Wait, hold on a second. So you just knew King Joffrey's character's name, actor's name? God, you really are. You, wow. I don't want to say the word nerd, but I just did. proud of it, dude. Gleason is 6'4". I think they might be lying
Joffrey.
About that.
Joffrey is much shorter than
much
that.
Shorter. He's from New Zealand. I just assumed he looks like a Midwestern guy. He's a mountain of a man. But man, he was blocking everything. In fact, we put a little video up of it on our Instagram and Twitter and our Vine.
Yeah, just a couple of his saves. Yeah,
because he built the wall strong enough. Trump wants him on the border. You know
that the shot that Bradley took.
Which was a rocket.
Which was an absolute rocket. And he parried it away just like, I mean, it was definitely, it was a great dive, but just it was a dive that he was completely aware of the trajectory of the ball.
Right.
And it was so fast that you would think, you know, sometimes you dive and just hope you get a piece on it.
Right.
But he saw it so well that he was able to push it away into like a better position.
He seemed fully prepared for the situation where I think most keepers would be freaking out.
There was the header that hit the post
And then it came back down and he back down. Kicked it. And he kicked it with his foot. If you haven't seen it, go to our Instagram, go to our Vine.
Great display. At Soccer Cooligans.
Amazing,
yeah,
amazing.
But, you know, people generally think that MLS is just a lower quality, but you see stuff like that and you're like, oh, these. It's legit, yeah.
Yeah, the Mendoza short corner, short post goal, Villa's goal, Gleason, Valeri's free kick. Every attempt Toronto made was world-class. It just took a world-class keeper to keep it all out, and you saw that with Gleason. And we were talking about this. The Euros are coming up. Toronto's going to be missing some players. So is NYCFC.
That's right.
Yeah, obviously, we know Bradley's going. We know Josie's going, right? So that's two players for Toronto.
So, but that's not... That's the Copa America. Euros.
Well, the two different competitions. Yeah. But Sebastian Giovinco.
Yeah, he got called into the Italy team, which is incredible. Yeah.
You know who else? The man, the myth, the legend, Andrea Pirlo.
Oh, my God.
El Maestro.
So, I mean, he was already benched once.
Yeah.
By Patrick Vieira. So.
And although now I heard that it was to give him a rest.
Okay.
So, I don't know that it was like benched because you didn't play well. It's got to be hard to hear that if you're Pirlo. Are you kidding me, dude?
Do you know who I am?
I mean, that's like me going to a sandwich shop and they'd be like, dude, I don't think you know how to order. I'd be like, you see these people around me? I'm their idol. They have my poster on their wall.
So NYCFC and Toronto missing. I mean, that Toronto especially, that's brutal.
That's... Every DP.
That's every DP. Yeah, that's so surreal. That's like, they're losing DP. Literally every for a month.
Gone. Yeah, for a month. They're losing every DP.
Yeah.
If NYCFC lost Villa, Lampard,
what would we do without Lampard?
I wonder, what would we do? Jeez. Let's say we lost Andrea Pirlo and David Villa. What, I mean, Mullins would start up front, right? No, probably Mendoza would play in his position. Because he's short and fast.
But Mullins would be the center forward.
Mullins would be a center forward, sure. Yeah,
but Mendoza wouldn't play that position.
Just behind him would be Mendoza. I think Mendoza would be more central. No? You'd keep him on the wing?
So. I think he would be on the wing, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah, he is fast. Keep him on the wing.
Kyrie on the other end?
Someone else who got called up to the Copa America, Matarita.
Oh, Matarita, yeah.
Mix and Matarita. Mix yeah, and I mean, we're going to be missing quite a bit here.
Mix is on the 40-man roster. He's not on the 23-man.
Right.
So there's a chance he may not... Make it in the 23.
And so there's also a chance that Giovinco doesn't go and, you know, Andrea Pirlo doesn't make the 23-man roster.
I don't
roster.
See Pirlo not going.
I can't imagine someone telling him he's not.
Yeah, you're just
he's
that,
just like, so just I stay in my vineyard, is what you're saying?
Just the stare alone that he would give you.
He doesn't say anything. You hear it in your head. You hear the conversation in your head.
That telekinetic ability. Yeah.
And he doesn't say he's mad. He's like, I'm very disappointed in you.
And then you change your mind.
Yeah, I'm very disappointed in your mistake. It's already considered a mistake.
It's been addressed.
You know what? You're the manager.
Why am I bleeding out of my nose?
You know what? You're the manager, Pirlo. I apologize. I'll stay home. Antonio Conte is like, I'm really sorry. By the way, it was this guy. He points at someone else.
So it is going to affect, a lot of that. This summer is going to be just going to, who knows, like, sort of, I think the table is going to bump up and down.
I think it's exciting. I mean, we were talking about Matarita going with, was it Costa Rica?
Costa Rica. But you know what? I'm not worried because RJ Allen will step right in and into that spot.
Beast. Well, I mean, other side. So Iraola will have to step into that side. But Matarita, man, he is all over the pitch.
Can we talk about one thing real quick regarding NYCFC? The very public Frank Lampard hatred. There's been a lot of...
It is palpable.
Very palpable. Amongst the NYCFC supporters, there have been a lot of articles. There was an article out of the UK. I forgot the
Telegraph.
The Telegraph.
That's right.
Which is a big paper.
Not small.
Really just saying, really hoping that, and it seemed like an open letter to Frank directly. They should have just emailed it to him, but it really just said Frank should be bought out and leave because he's costing NYCFC a valuable DP spot. And after that article was released, NYCFC supporters have been really agreeing hard.
That same article called him the worst signing in MLS history.
Yeah, which is rough to hear. Especially
hard to recover from.
From a legend like that. I can't imagine it's easy to hear. I know he really wants to be back there, but...
Does he? I mean, the fans are giving him stick like he doesn't want to be there. I believe he does. You know, again, that time at Manchester City... That was it. That was, and I didn't want to believe it was the death knell. I wanted to believe that, oh, okay, it's just a little gap, and it's he'll be fine. He'll be coming back. I mean, he didn't. I didn't think it was going to have this lasting an effect. You know, he was in preseason training, and everything seemed like it was going to work out. Man, it is absolutely a dumpster fire whenever you talk about Frank Lampard.
Yeah, and it seems like he's just old. I mean, I don't know what he's not recovering. It seems like, you know, they're not really describing what his injuries are. I mean, it's like, what, a quad, a calf or something?
Thigh strain is...
I hear calf a lot. And on the injury reports, he's showing up just as questionable. So there's some improvement, but he obviously...
Supposedly, he's going to start next match, or he's available next match, supposedly.
Okay. So, I mean, this is... You know what I'm kind of concerned about? And I think it will be weird, but I think when the first time he plays in Yankee Stadium this season, I think he will be booed.
What do you mean, think? It's pretty obvious.
It's going to be rough.
Someone was wearing a shirt, Alexis Rivera, the Spider-Man. He was wearing a shirt that had the old Drake mixtape. It says, if you're reading this, Frank Lampard is probably questionable. It said on his shirt. I mean,
and he was thrown out. A few people were thrown out for like anti-Frank sort of chants at the last game.
No, they weren't thrown out because of that.
I think that's what it was. I mean, that's sort of... It's all speculation. That's what I'm reading from like
message
Facebook
boards, whatever,
and stuff like that. But but regardless, the anti-Frank Lampard movement seems to be picking up some steam.
Wow.
So that's like it's concerning. And there's obviously this valid point. The one thing I find interesting is, you know, Patrick Vieira has basically asked about Frank at every opportunity, every post-game conference. And Patrick sort of keeps that. He answers a little politically, but you can sense that he doesn't – it feels like he doesn't really believe in Frank that much.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I don't know what he adds to the team. You know, what is he really going to do? If he rushes back, let's say he's healthy right now and he comes into the team, I'd rather Jack Harrison get those minutes, you know, when Jack Harrison gets healthy. I don't, Poku even.
Yeah.
I honestly don't know.
There's no real way to justify.
What is it, Bravo? You're going to sit Bravo, who's out there just throwing himself all over that pitch?
Yeah.
What are you going to do? This team is starting to gel. I don't think Frank's going to get a lot of burn on this team anyway.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you're Frank Lampard, go back to Chelsea and start managing. Give us that DP slot, and we'll probably sign Iker Casillas for no reason, and he's too old. But, you know, I can't see a world where Frank Lampard comes in and we're better because of it.
Yeah.
And that's a shame.
It's hard to accept that, yeah.
It's a shame.
Because, obviously, he was, what, the second signing?
Yeah.
It's a big deal to have Frank Lampard on your team.
It was a big deal signing when it happened.
Yeah. And the fact that he hasn't been fit, he's not healthy, and basically when he has been playing, you're not wowed by his ability.
No, the one thing I do like about him is his ability to sort of, they say that he's been sort of managing from the sidelines, he's been helping and in training through all the preseason. So many players were saying how much he's helped them in training, you know, and you have a guy who's won a lot, you know, so you do want, but I mean, all right, so you should have been hired as a coach. Get out of here. Give up the TP slot, man. We only have three. Can we? Is there Tam? Is there? We need Lampard allocation money, so we can get him.
Yeah,
we can pay him, and then we're good. Why don't we do this? Why don't we get to our third segment? We were going to talk about Copa Centenario. Why don't we do Centenario and the Euros next week?
Okay, yeah.
We'll talk about that next week. We got some. The groups are up. There's some amazing things that I think are going to happen, and some shocking names for both groups. For both competitions. Why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break? Why don't we tell you a little bit about how you guys can win a Roughneck scarf from Roughneck. You can win a USA scarf from Roughneck to get you prepared for that Copa Centenario. We don't want you out there with that old logo.
Oh, boo.
Walking out with that old cheesy-ass graphic.
Girls are going to be like, yo, look at this loser with the old-ass logo.
Come on, son, with your old-ass logo. Your old logo got a walker on it. You don't need that. You got to walk out with that new...
Your logo got gray pubic hair, son.
Come on, son.
Yeah, you mad old.
Your logo is on a pension. Y'all don't need that.
That Wall Street is going to steal yeah. with their mutual funds.
Yeah. This. By the way, these women that watch soccer are very advanced politically, economically.
Savvy women.
And their burns are all Wall Street Journal, Financial Times-based burns. I don't know if you know that. But what we want you to do is we want to swag you out. We're the Cooligans. You've seen our photos holding these scarves. You want to roll with the Cooligans, you got to look good, baby.
Very much,
You see how the three of us look. Superstars, okay? So Roughneck Scarves, they're going to send you a scarf. All we need you to do is what this next break is going to tell you. So listen to this, and we'll be right back with Kirby's Corner. Now let's find out what you have to do to get this awesome, comfortable USA scarf.
All right, so for the Cooligans giveaway, if you want to win a USA scarf to take to your Copa America Centenario game with you, all you got to do is create a video letting us know what your favorite USA soccer moment is and just send it to us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram.
That's it. It could be anything. It could be your favorite moment watching. It could be a story about how your dad took you to the first match. It could be about anything at all. Maybe you went to the World Cup of the 90s. Anything at all. Your favorite moment, the most important moment for you in national team history. Men's, women's, it doesn't matter. Youth, it doesn't matter at all. Share a video with us. Make sure you tag at Soccer Cooligans. Tag Roughneck Scarves, spelled RUFFNECKSCARVES.
Roughneck
Scarves. Tag both of those. Yeah. And then make sure you use the hashtag CooligansUSA. If you only do one thing, use the hashtag Cooligans.
Do all three things.
Yeah, yeah.
But the
most important, because if you don't hashtag CooligansUSA, we will not see it.
Yeah, we won't be able to find it. So
Kirby's going to be pulling these all up. He will be using hashtag CooligansUSA, and that's on Twitter, on Instagram, and on Facebook.
We'd love to interact with our fans a little bit more and see some cool videos that they can make
and
for
make
us.
It creative. You know, you could do a replay, you could do stop motion, you could just talk directly into the camera.
Yeah, hire Pixar if you feel like creating your own like USM USMNT recreation.
What type of processors you guys got, huh? You got how many cores you got?
Yeah, or do like a forensic file reenactment and get hire actors and
or give us your own color commentary or your own call for any specific goal or anything that happened. Any video, favorite national team moment for the USA, we want to hear it. And if we love it, well, our favorite, we're going to pick. And that's who's going to get a absolutely free U.S. National Team scarf from Roughneck Scarves. Again, that's roughneckscarves.com.
Kirby's Corner.
Kirby's Corner. What a weird stutter start, but we're here now.
We are. Let's do this.
So we're here. A lot of stuff to talk about. Can I guess what the first topic is going to be?
Would you like to guess?
I'm going to assume that it's going to have to do with Leicester winning the league.
It might go on. You're on a roll. Let's keep going.
No, go ahead. Tell me what it is.
Jamie Vardy's lookalike was escorted away from confused Leicester City fans. They thought Jamie Vardy was out in the streets celebrating with them, and eventually got on the team plane or the team bus, took a picture with Jamie Vardy himself. It is eerie how similar they are.
He's a bit younger. You could see he's a little younger, but I mean, even the hairline is exactly the same.
You know what? I'm looking at that picture.
Do you know who's who?
And I couldn't tell who was who.
Yeah, it's scary, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, so this...
it's an amazing picture.
Well, the lookalike is the one wearing the shirt.
Yeah,
is wearing the Leicester shirt.
Yeah, usually players don't wear their jerseys just on the team bus.
I totally would. Though.
I mean, it's not even a game day.
Yeah.
You're not wearing your work uniform.
It would be strange to wear your work uniform on an off day.
Yeah, that's not... I mean, well, there's some officers that have done it in the past. But that's not something you do. And did you know there's a Neymar lookalike in Scotland, right?
In Scotland?
There's a Scottish kid.
Do you mean Astoria, Queens? Because no. I'm sure I've seen plenty.
Hundreds in the Bronx. Yeah. Hundreds. Take the subway at 3:30 and you'll see a ton of Neymar juniors. No, but there's a Neymar Scottish junior, kid. Yeah, it's not bad. there's a Scottish kid who looks exactly, shockingly enough, Scottish looks exactly like Neymar, but he plays it up. Like he's a professional soccer player too, but I think he's in like the third tier, young guy.
Okay.
And he plays it up. You know, he'll go out and there was a video where he like made out with women who thought he was Neymar. So it's like, I don't think you should be putting this on the internet.
That's what Neymar does. Neymar just goes out, just makes out with a bunch of strangers.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does he have a Scottish accent?
Okay, would you be able to prove that he doesn't do that? Because it sounds believable.
Yeah. Neymar's just like, bring me the pastiest of your Scottish people. I will kiss them.
Neymar's like, I'm tired of these women with appropriate curves and melatonin in their skin. Is it melanin?
Melatonin is the thing that's
brain that
makes
you
go sleep.
Which you get when you eat Scottish food because it's all deep fried. Boom,
yeah,
still
that's more of a Bill Cosby thing. That's why he focused on it.
Oh, boy.
Speaking of sex offenders.
Already.
Adam Johnson was attacked in his prison showers after yelling, "Do you know who I am?"
Hilarious.
Oh, my goodness.
Is this true?
This is true. Metro reported it. Well, so kind of true. Metro reported it.
Yeah, which means it probably didn't happen.
Yeah, well.
But was he just abused or?
Well, he was beaten up in the prison showers after refusing to clean the hair out of the drain. When he was like, another prisoner said, "Hey, clean the hair out of the drain." He said, "Do you know who I am?" And then was promptly clocked.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good for him.
I just want to say that.
He's like, "Do you know who I am?" And they're like, "Yeah, you're the pedophile. Now go ahead and clean the hair."
I just want to say that there are many, you know, many men who live with women who do this all the time, and they do not. This is not how they respond. You're not. Women get their hair stuck in the drain all the time. And for the most part, you just pick it up and just throw it away. You put it in the toilet, put it in the garbage.
Not me. I use tissue because it's disgusting. There's wet hair.
But
is terrible.
we can say that responding by punching the offender is probably not the way to.
Although I will say, if my wife asked me to clean the drain and I said, "Do you know who I am?" she probably would punch me in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man. Yeah. I think someone just asked us, will the Chicago Cubs be like Leicester City? It's still technically a soccer question.
Yeah.
But I think hopefully the Yankees are more like Leicester City this year.
No. Well, the Cubs are not really. I don't know. I guess they've
100 and some years without winning.
Without winning, but it's not like they haven't made the playoffs or they haven't been close. Or Leicester City hasn't been in the top four. You know, a couple
years. 132 years.
If Leicester City, if the Chicago Cubs were like Leicester City, they'd still be in the third tier. They'd be in single A baseball if we had a league like Leicester City to play in. Chicago stunk for a very long time.
But let's go Mets. What a great playoff last year. Chicago Cubs, you couldn't win one game, but you guys are great.
I'm a Yankee fan. I got nothing to talk about. What's the next topic?
Everton needs a new manager, apparently. What do you think of this, Christian?
I mean, they don't technically need one because they have one. So do they want a new one? Then probably yes.
Would you be interested in World Cup winning coach Jurgen Klopp? Because that is what, again, the Metro is reporting. So take it with a grain of salt. They want Jurgen as the Everton manager. His credentials are amazing. He's won.
He'll probably bring a gang of Germans with him.
Either
scares you, that statement, or makes you feel like, dude, your team is going to be pretty legit. And here's the thing. Remember, Jurgen Klinsmann has been given a lot of credit for how he turned around the German division with the German team. Apparently, Jurgen Klopp is the one who really did most of the tactical work, which has been proven by watching the men's national team for the USA.
But why would he leave Germany to manage Everton?
I think
Everton is interested in him.
Okay.
I think, to be honest, I think everyone secretly wants a club job after they've already done. You know, it's like the national team is like a goal of yours, but once you've done you want to get back in the club game. I mean, you know, Sampioli down in Chile, the people kind of want to get back into the club game. They don't always want to be the national
Miguel
team.
Miguel Herrera?
Yeah, Miguel Herrera. I mean, you know, I think it
Bruce Arena.
You know, Bob Bradley, not a decision he made on his own, but, you know, he's now at Le Havre, which is where Le Havre. Yeah, you do it.
That's where Mara is from. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's hoping he had them.
Does it sound intriguing? Yeah, but obviously, you know, watching Germany play the goddamn robots that they are, those machines that just dominated the World Cup.
Boston Dynamics version of soccer. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, Google Boston Dynamics. It will blow your mind.
I will, too.
And scare you your future.
It is intriguing. I guess I don't see him leaving necessarily, especially, I mean, the Euros, maybe after the Euros, if that's like a thing he's willing to.
Why not?
Yeah. I guess. If it's possible.
One last hurrah.
Look, honestly, if it's possible.
If he wins the Euros, I think it would
look,
be.
Look, after that Everton FA Cup loss, you can just put anybody in there. I just want to see what they'll do. I'm just curious now.
How wild would it be if Roberto Martinez becomes the German national team coach?
Whoa.
Trading places with Eddie Murphy. Like,
yeah, that just wouldn't happen. Just wouldn't happen. It's Freaky Friday, everybody.
Yeah.
What else you got, Kirby?
Now, a player has...
He's very humble.
But you wouldn't normally think of this player being humble. Mario Balotelli missed a penalty in their 3-3 draw against...
Shocker.
Frosinone.
Okay.
I hope that's good. And he phoned up the chief executive at AC Milan to apologize for the penalty miss. He is currently on loan at AC Milan.
Yeah.
Does this show a change in character that Liverpool may want to bring him back?
I mean, if Jurgen Klopp is different. Brendan Rodgers couldn't handle him. Jurgen Klopp, I think, could. Jurgen Klopp has the father-like / cool uncle-like demeanor that maybe someone like a Balotelli needs. But the idea that Balotelli is still somehow... connected to Liverpool is insane to me. He clearly belongs in the Serie A. He's happier being at home out there. There's zero reason for him to come back. I would take him back if I were I would take him back if I were Liverpool, because I think he's a master striker and that's something you need. And you know, I'm tired of seeing this stupid Sturridge dance. But other than that, there's no reason. And like someone just said on our Periscope, phoning in to apologize. Yeah, that is very European football. You know,
also Canadian, very Canadian. Also,
that is, well, apologizing is Canadian. Yeah. That's where we got it.
They invented
from.
It.
They did.
I think Balotelli, from my understanding of him, he just seems to be a little too sensitive for the Premier League. But also, he's also been attacked more than almost any other player. There's something about when people sense that somebody has like a weakness or a vulnerability, it seems like the British fans just go, they're like, oh, you have there's a slight angle that we can just really get you, and they don't stop.
You know what it is? I don't think it's a sensitivity. He has the cockiness of a Zlatan, but doesn't answer it. And that's where you get picked on. Like Nicholas Bentner is another one, you know, who got picked on relentlessly. Because you can't walk around and say you're the best and then not do it. You know, Zlatan Ibrahimovic said he's the best. And then every time he kicks the fucking ball, it's like, did he score a bicycle kick from half down the pitch? Then, yeah, he's met his own expectations. You can't make fun of that. You admire that.
That's right, yeah.
You know, so someone like Balotelli, who walks around like he's the king, crazy haircuts, and he wants all the attention on himself, and then he doesn't meet it or has moments where he meets it, but then you could see he just lets go of the game in his brain.
I think
that leads to what you're talking.
I think the reason I have a little bit of sympathy for him is because of like the barrage of racism he has to deal with.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know why both Kirby and I just washed that away.
Whatever.
Well, it makes sense for me.
But yeah, for you. I mean, you are from the South. You are from below the Mason-Dixon line. But to be honest, it's terrible and it's disrespectful, but it's also something that you're not immune to it because you're in a league versus another. It's happened wherever he goes. It's terrible and it's disrespectful and it's shameful everywhere it happens. But at some point, you have to understand that that is going to happen. I appreciate it if it goes away. But if you're Balotelli, you have to be a professional, as difficult as it is, and let that go away. You're not the first player to experience it. You won't be the last.
Yeah. Okay? Yeah, so it's like Jackie Robinson, like
right.
So in 42. That was.
We get it. You know? Oh, they don't like you. Big shock. You know, if I was out there and they kept throwing churros at me, I'd be like, yeah, this is disrespectful. Also, thank you
for the churros.
Oh my God. It was amazing. Yeah. I don't even have to order these things. My manager would be like, get off the pitch with the churros. I'm like, they're throwing it at me. Apparently, I'm a fan favorite. I'm a fan favorite. Why is everyone wearing Mexican
hats? I'm rooting
for
him, though. I'm rooting for him. I hope he does well wherever he goes. It's just.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Remember, he famously had that shirt under his jersey. Why always me? Why? So
well, now you know. Now you know.
Yeah, and if you don't know, now you know.
He's a trivia.
I'll say the other word.
He's a.
I didn't.
He's like a divisive sort of figure because
he is. He's polarizing.
He's polarized because people hate, like, I mean, frankly, I think it's just they hate that he's confident. Meaning, like, it's like not deserved. Like his confidence it shouldn't be coming. They don't like where it's sort of coming from. And I mean, it's definitely they just hate a black dude that speaks Italian. I don't know. Yeah. I think
there's too much sexiness going on here. He's got abs and he speaks Italian.
It's so threatening,
especially for the Brits. They're like, this is too much for our women.
Yeah.
You need to get out of here. Get out of here right now.
Yeah, Balotelli's just a darker Cam Newton.
Love when he hugged his grandmother. Who's a white woman
from
Italy. You know, they were the first thought. Everyone was like, get your hands off that woman. Get your hands off that old woman.
Everyone, this woman is being attacked.
He's trying to kill this beautiful nonna. Who was making cheese moments before this happened.
Ironically, in the tongue of Fergusino.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Okay, I get it. I get what you're trying to say. Yeah, it's right.
Very nice. You mentioned Nicholas Bentner before.
Yeah.
He's in the doghouse of Wolfsburg right now.
But it's probably the dopest doghouse of all time.
It is.
Nicholas Bentner.
Lies about carbon emissions and all that good stuff.
Yeah.
Apparently, the person they want to replace Bentner is Olivier Giroud.
Olivier Giroud. Good riddance, you beautiful man. Get off of my team. You haven't scored on the pitch, because we know you're probably crushing it
all
off the pitch. But on the pitch, you haven't scored in what? 9, 12 matches? Yeah. Something crazy like that? Get off Arsenal. Done. Move on. We won't take Nicholas Bentner back. But Nicholas Bentner, I think, would have a great career in the MLS. Don't you guys agree?
I don't know anything about it.
That would be so much fun.
If you don't know, Nicholas Bentner said that his father is his agent, and both of them said that he was the best striker in the world.
Lord Nicholas Bentner.
Lord Bentner is his nickname. He is Balotelli's cockiness with, at one point, Zlatan Ibrahimovic's haircut. And that's the only comparisons I can make with the soccer player with him. He is about as...
And Nani's skill.
Yeah, exactly. Not a great player.
No, not at all.
But he does have a nose for goal. He can score. He doesn't have the consistency. I think he would be incredible in the MLS. I don't want him at NYCFC.
No, not at all.
I want to be clear on that.
What's happening to the Red Bulls?
Yeah. Is this the rumor of who they might sign?
No, I'm just speculating. Okay. That's who I would like to see him go to.
Did you hear that they're going to try to sign Miroslav Klose?
I did hear that. Was a couple months ago. I heard that rumor. I didn't know how solid it was.
Oh, it was close. It was really close.
It was pretty close, eh?
I'm not going to lie to you. I was prepared to make that pun. I thought it was terrible. And I'm glad you did.
I have no
filter. Once again, pun and wordplay. Always appreciated here on the Cool Again.
Yeah, feel free to throw some puns in on Periscope.
We will read them on air.
Yeah.
Last thing. La Liga is really interesting right now. Barcelona have not yet wrapped it up. They're neck and neck with Atletico Madrid with two matches to play. This is the most exciting league in the world right now because the Premier League has wrapped up.
Yeah, this is exciting. And after what just happened, Atletico Madrid could win the double Champions League and La Liga. Holy.
Which would be crazy. But Atletico are there. Their coach, their manager, is suspended for the final games because of the little incident where he threw a ball back onto the pitch.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So Simeone will not be...
And he might be suspended from the Champions League final
after that scuffle with...
Because he was very clearly on camera just playfully shoving one of the officials.
The officials, yeah. He wanted to put a sub on, and they did not let him.
Is he an official or just the guy that holds the number board?
Oh, he's the fourth official.
He's the fourth official.
Also the first fan.
Well, he pushed him because he was upset that he didn't get in the substitution.
Like, but it wasn't a push like, I'm going to fight you. It was a push like, come on, do your job.
Yeah.
So I kind of feel like...
It was an Italian push.
You got a raid on a curve of passion.
If you're, let's say you're at a restaurant, you order your food, the waiter's taking a little too long to bring your food, yeah. and you call him over like, hey, how long is the food gonna? He's like, look, 5 more minutes,
and then you push him,
and then you push him, like, yo, come on, where's my food?
Yeah,
you're gonna get thrown out of the restaurant, regardless of how lightly you push.
You might not be allowed back in for a little while, so yeah, I can see him getting suspended. Julie Herms over on Periscope says Barca will win La Liga again. I mean, isn't that boring if that happens? Wouldn't it be great to see Atletico Madrid, the most improbable double? You know?
Yeah. Oh, and just the comeback, because Barca was supposed to have it. Barca was supposed to have this wrapped up two months ago.
And then they went on that little skid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So. And out of the Champions League. So this is all they sort of have left. So I know that they're. Look, the last few matches, they've been humiliating teams.
Yeah.
What, 8-0 against like Celta Vigo, I think, was one of the matches. So clearly. They're a little bitter about how the last...
They're trying to make a statement.
So, look, do they have the best chance to win La Liga? I think so, but, you know, they have to get those results because Atletico doesn't look like they're going to be dropping any more points soon.
Absolutely.
No, I mean, Barcelona plays Espanyol this upcoming week, and in the last week of the season, they play Granada. Atletico Madrid have Levante, and then Celta Vigo.
And is Real Madrid just like 1 point off?
Yeah, they're close too.
So who knows? Anything can happen.
Anything can happen. It's exciting. La Liga is exciting. A lot of people say it's not. You know, they have a little bit of a tighter top three.
Yeah, but that's really the issue. It's just like the top is exciting and
there's
fun.
There's a mega drop.
At least in the Premier League, I can watch Stoke West Ham and I'm actually excited about the game. It's an entertaining.
Celta Vigo versus Celta Vigo versus Real Sociedad. You're like,
ooh,
who are these people?
Too many syllables. Palmas,
why do they always let the fans play? Oh no, these are professionals.
What?
Yeah. So go ahead. What else happened out there in the world of soccer?
Let's take it back. We started the podcast with Lester. We started the segment with Lester. Let's end it with Lester because, damn it, they deserve it.
Igor, our big fan out of Portland, is riveted right now.
Gary Lineker.
Yeah.
Earlier in the season, said that if Lester won the title,
who, by the way, was the last 20 goal scorer for Leicester City.
They said he would be hosting Match of the Day in his underwear. Now he's going to have to do that.
So wait, in England, what's underwear? Is that a swimsuit? Is that a
tidy whities
pants?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Tidy whities. But it's probably some thong speedo you buy in a tube.
Yeah, who knows? The words are so different. I don't know why he's going to be. I think it's lingerie.
All right, Gary. All right.
Gary looking
Gary.
Good.
Gary.
You and Olivier.
Love those gem eyes, Gary.
Damn, son. Where'd you learn to work in them walking them heels?
So my question regarding this, what would have to happen for either of you to host the Cooligans in your underwear?
This is a great question. Is it like Arsenal winning the title?
If Arsenal win the title, I would gladly host the show in my underwear. Gladly. I would feel bad for all the listeners we lost.
But, I mean, Periscope viewers.
I could say if Everton won the title, I would wear my underwear, but that's not even... I'm never going to be wearing my underwear on the show, ever. That's not going to happen.
He's not wearing any underwear right now, ladies and gentlemen.
I would say... I'll say this. If Everton make it in the top four, I would wear my underwear
top
on
four.
The show.
Okay, I want to say, Everton, please don't ever make it on the top four. I don't want to see that.
I will say if Arsenal win a double, a league and FA Cup, I will do cool.
I'll take back the league. I want them to win the league. But if they win the Champions League... Happily.
But these are so difficult. These are not like
just about as difficult as Leicester City winning the league. Why do you think Gary Lineker said that?
I just really want to be my underwear guy.
Yeah.
So now,
I just take my clothes off right now?
Yeah. Go for it.
Christian Blanco's like, if Everton buys a player, I will.
If
gladly.
Everton sells Lukaku, 100% chance. So do we want to shake on this now and have that be a permanent...
Well, I think shake on it. We put it on both.
Yeah,
it's on the internet. It's on the podcast. I think for sure. If Arsenal wins the Champions League, tune in. You're about to see a lot of boxer brief.
If Arsenal wins a league and FA Cup double, hello, ladies.
Okay. All right. And if Everton makes it in the top four, which is not even... That's not impossible.
No, I'm hoping it is.
It's as unlikely as Arsenal winning the Champions League.
That hurts. That hurts a little bit.
So, if Everton make it in the top four,
Next year, all three of these things are going to happen. And we're just going to be standing here in our underwear.
It's like, don't look below the nose. Don't look below the nose.
Just asking, why are we getting so many hearts on Periscope?
Yeah. Or if NYCFC wins an MLS Cup, we all are in our underwear. Easily.
Fine.
Yes.
Why is that a thing?
You gotta, you're gonna have to learn to love your body, Alexis. Okay.
I mean, I love it, body but I don't positive. Think anybody else. I think everyone else has they're to learn
gonna,
to love it.
They're gonna love
we've
every
lost,
second of
we've
it.
We've lost viewers
just by talking about our bodies.
Just mentioning this, we've lost viewers on our Periscope. All right. I will not watch that episode of Gary Lineker's Man of the Match. Match of the day.
I'm gonna DVR that.
Just study up.
It. Yeah, just make prep. Sure. Just watch. See what he does with his chest hair. I got to figure out my strategy.
You know what? Why don't we ask Roughneck Scarves to send us a couple more scarves to cover ourselves up, just to cover ourselves up in some important areas.
Yeah.
Look, guys, this has been one wild episode of fun. Cooligans. A lot of exciting things are happening. So thank you so much for listening.
Yeah, tune in next week. We'll do some Copa America Centenario stuff and the Euros. They're both happening in June. So this summer is going to be really exciting.
Really exciting summer coming up. So and MLS is heating up. NYCFC is looking good. Some of these teams are looking great. I mean, come on. It's going to be a great summer. So I know some of you guys tune off to soccer now.
Summer 16.
Right. Views.
And the Olympics. And we got the Olympics.
Stop talking about the Olympics. All right.
We're talking about views.
Come on, son.
Views. Lemonade. Copa America Centenario. Euros. The only things that matter.
Lemonade. Views and lemonade.
Things that matter this summer.
Christian is Becky with the good hair.
Yeah. I'm Alexis with the better hair. You can find me on Twitter at NotAlexis, on everything as @NotAlexis, and now on Snapchat as Alexis Guerreros. And you can find us on Snapchat as well.
Yeah, look for Soccer Cooligans on Snapchat. We've been doing stuff there. I'm on Snapchat. I haven't made anything yet. Oh, Snap Polanco.
Oh, boy.
Oh, you like it.
God. No,
yeah, you like that.
I don't.
I actually this is one wordplay that I'm not a fan of.
Yeah. We said it's always loud. We found the exception.
There we go. You can find me on Twitter at TheKirbyT. You can find me on Instagram at TheKirbyT. On Snapchat, I don't know my Snapchat name. I honestly don't.
Well,
I'll find it. Next week, I'll tell you.
Yeah, just type your name. You could find it. Yeah.
Well, Kirby guys, page. This has been a very fun episode of the
Cooligans!